Man, we want to welcome those again that are online in the parking lot. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. One more time. Good to be in God's service. Amen. Thank you, choir. Today we want to take you to a passage of Scripture found in Mark chapter 11. You have your Bibles turned to Mark chapter 11. I'm going to begin with verse number 12. Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14, and then verses 20 through 22. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the figs of the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit of you again." Verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." Jesus answered, "Have faith in God." Have faith in God. From this, we want to just share with you a subject today: fruit failure. Fruit failure. Look at somebody and ask them, "Where's your fruit?" Look at somebody else and ask them, "Where's your fruit?" Amen. You may be seated. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have for worship in this first Sunday in March. We celebrate your goodness. We celebrate your love. Lord, last week, a lot of things went wrong. A lot of things didn't work out right. But it's a brand new day today. We were able to make it past every problem, every sickness, every situation. We're still here in Jesus' name. And we just want to say thank you for all that you've done and for all that you mean to us. Now, Lord, we come to your word and we ask that you would feed us, nourish us, so that we might be strengthened through your word. Somebody might be listening from a hospital room. Somebody might be listening, Lord, from a jail cell. But wherever this message reaches them, I pray that you'd bless them and let them know that through Christ, I can do all things. We love you. And we thank you in Jesus' name, amen and amen. The question of where is your fruit is one that is both relevant and real. God's command from the beginning is not that we simply exist, but that we would bear fruit. If God were to visit our society today, would he find any good fruit? If he visited our homes, could he find some good fruit? If the Lord were to come in and visit our churches, would he be able to find good fruit? You see, ladies and gentlemen, you were not created by accident. God Almighty made you. Through life and through some of the circumstances that happen, yes, it will cause us to maybe take a look at life and say, "Well, you know, what am I living for?" Let me just drop something in your ear. You're living to bear fruit. You are here because God put you here. And he put you here for a reason, and that is to bear fruit. As a matter of fact, everything that God has created, he made it for the purpose of bearing fruit unto his glory. Everything, the trees, the animals, the fish in the sea, the clouds in the sky, everything is to be fruitful and to let God give all the glory, because he deserves all the glory and praise. Amen. In creation, we find that the Lord gave a command to all the vegetations. Genesis 1:11 says, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with the seed in it according to its various kind. And you know the ending of that verse that says, and they did so. Genesis 1:22, God spoke to the creatures, the animals, and he said to them, you are blessed, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and let the birds increase in number. They were to bear fruit. Genesis 1:26, God gives the command to man. He says, now I want you to be ruler over these things, but I also want you to be fruitful and multiply. Fruit bearing is not simply some process where we have some activity going on. A lot of people think activity is bearing fruit, being busy. What are you doing? I'm busy. But the question is, not are you busy, not are you finding something to do. The question is, are you bearing fruit to the glory of God? Everybody listening, I see eyes opening, but are you listening? It's important that we think about this because there will come a time where we will have to be accountable for the life that God has given us. Not just to me, but to God. Not just to your neighbor, but to God. It's important that we think about bearing fruit. Now, you know, you say, preacher, what is all this fruit thing about? I just want to be blessed. That's where a lot of folk are in the church. They want to get in the blessing line. They want somebody to pray for them, and they want deliverance, and they want God to give them all of these things. That's fine, because these things oftentimes are needed in your life. But God's going to ask the question, show me your fruit. Show me where you're doing something for the glory of God. This scripture is by no accident. The Lord of creation, the God of glory, now in the flesh, Emmanuel, came to a tree that he created. A tree that he made. And he came looking and expecting something, and he only found leaves. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm not looking for green leaf Christians. I'm looking for real Christians. Look at somebody else, tell them, I'm not looking for green leaf Christians. I'm looking for real Christians. That's what God is looking for today. That's what he wants in our lives. What does bearing fruit do? Bearing fruit often tells that you are demonstrating abundant life. Abundant life. You might call it being healthy, because that's what God made you to be. Fruit is not just the multiplication, because if you notice in Genesis, he said, be fruitful and multiply. First, you got to be fruitful. Are y'all in the building? You got to produce something in your life that demonstrates that God is good. Would anybody argue with the fact that God is good? Would you argue with the fact that God is great? Would you argue with the fact that God is all-powerful? Then why in the world can't you be connected with God and me be connected with God so that something great is happening in our lives? You need to feel great about this, because your heavenly Father put you into this world for the specific reason of bearing fruit. It shows that you have abundant life. I have problems with the Christian, even though you got suffering, even though you got ups and downs like everybody does. But I have problems when your head is always hung down. Woe is me. If you can't celebrate where you are, then at least you can celebrate where you're going. Do I have any witnesses in the building? It not only demonstrates abundant life, it also shows obedience to God's will. Notice we said in Genesis, he made it clear, everything that I created, I want it to bear fruit. I want it to be very fruitful. Jesus says to us in John 15, I believe in verse 8, he says, my Father is glorified My Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. And of course, you know that John 15 talks about the vine, being connected with the vine. Jesus said, I am the true vine, which means there's also a false vine. There's the vine of the world. There's the vine that society says, anything you want to do, you can go and do it, and it'll bear fruit. Some of the stuff you do can kill you. I don't know what happened to this tree. I really don't know all of the things that could have caused it to get into condition of unfruitfulness, but I'm going to suggest a few things that I believe will help you today in the form of warnings. But the last thing you got to do is you got to make sure that you're useful. What I mean by useful, there are a lot of people, again, that are active, but are you useful? You know, it's kind of like some folks are like a screen door on a submarine. It'll come back around. They open and close fine. They do pretty good, but, you know, screen door, submarine, I don't think so. God puts you in a right place, in a right time, around the right people for you to bear fruit. Never, never say, oh, God, you made a mistake. Some people might say, well, you know, I made a mistake. I married the wrong person. It ain't God's fault. Heaven on you. Amen. You the one said I do. All right. Amen. Amen. You see, which means you need some counseling before you get married. All right. You need to talk to somebody. Make sure you. That's another sermon for another time. Everybody say bearing fruit. You want to make sure that your life means something to the people around you, to the world around you. And I'm going to give you five basic warnings that we have to look at today. Five warnings, and yet they're powerful, and they apply to Jesus coming to this fig tree and finding no fruit. Warning number one simply says, give God what he expects. That's simple enough. I'll get into these later. You don't have to worry about writing them down. I'll get them to you. Second one says, don't be deceived by the leaves. Ah, that's a good one. Do not be deceived just because there are leaves. That doesn't say a thing about fruit. Warning number three, remember, the goal is to please God. The goal is to please God. And then fourthly, fruit failure leads to destruction. But I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you out with that. Amen? Because when Jesus said, have faith in God, that was not just a plug-in. That was not just a quick answer to give Peter. Jesus was saying, the way that you can be fruitful and the way that I can be fruitful in my life is to have faith in God. As a matter of fact, if you don't have a faith connection with God, you will not bear fruit. Which brings us into the situation with this fig tree. Jesus had gone into the temple the day before, and then he had gone to rest in Bethany. And as he was coming out to the temple the next day, he saw this fig tree in the distance. Looked at the fig tree and said, oh my, there must be some fruit on that tree. Brother Bolden, you're going to like this one. When you approach something, when you approach a tree, you expect something. How many of y'all have these apple trees on your farm or, you know, somewhere on your property, apple trees? Now, you're going to like this because the tree was all in leaf. It should have had something on it, even if it wasn't anything but green figs. How many of y'all ever eaten little green apples? Remember that song, I've been eating little green apples? That's why I got a stomachache. I'm just kidding. Every tree bears something. It says that it was not the season for figs, which really, when you look into it, the figs were not ripe, but they should have had some green ones on it. If you got green leaves, you ought to have a few green figs. Anybody in the building? And so it was when Jesus approached the tree, the Lord of glory. And remember, he makes no mistakes. He doesn't estimate something without knowing that it should be there. You don't just have anybody walking up to a tree. You have the one that made the tree. Are y'all listening to me? He said, now I'm looking for something. I expect something. And I want it to be produced. As Jesus approached the tree, he found out. He looked at the bottom. Didn't find anything. He looked at the top. Didn't find anything. He said, you know what? This tree is no good. It's not worth anything. If you can't produce for God, you can't produce for anybody. Don't kid yourself thinking that you please the world, you're going to please God in the process. No. It doesn't work that way. You will never please the world, but you can please God. There are some things that you can give him. Even if it is a little green, it might not be mature, but it's a little green. Let me explain what I'm saying here. We used to take those green apples and fry them. Put a little sugar with them. And it worked. Now, I can't talk to city folk, but they don't know what I'm talking about. But you get those green apples, you'd have a meal. God comes to his church looking for some productivity, and he finds green leaves. Everybody looking good, but can't nobody praise him. Are y'all here? Your praise might be a little green. You might not be able to do it like everybody else. You might not know how to wave. You might not know how to wave your hand the right way. But you can at least give God some praise. I wasn't going to get into the sermon, but I got to do it right now. God has been too good to you. He's brought you too far. He's done so many things for you. For you to say, well, I'm just going to fold my arm and I'm just going to sweat up. Because God owes me something. Listen, God doesn't owe you anything. He's already given you more than you deserve. Come on, talk to me in here. If you can't give him anything but just a little bit of praise, give him a little bit of praise. Listen. The Bible describes, Paul describes one condition of the church. And he says that they are ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. What does that mean? That means that they're always in Bible study but can't get nothing out of the Bible. They can read all the Bible. They can tell you all of the stories that's in there. They can name the books backwards and forward. But can you walk it? Can you live it? Do you know the man from Galilee? Do you know that he's a healer? Do you know that he's a deliverer? Have you ever needed him before? See, there's some things that you can give to God. I wish I had more time to talk about it. Jesus, he walked up to the tree. He said, now I know something ought to be on here. At least some green figs. But he saw green leaves. We are in what I might call a Hollywood mentality. When the cameras are on, Hollywood knows how to put on a show. They can make it look good. But if you do some investigation, the lives of the folks that's in Hollywood is just as jacked up as they can be. And they can stand in front of that scene and then say, oh, but it's nothing but a show. When you stand before Jesus Christ, you can't take a pose. No. If you do take a pose, you better be down on your knees saying, Lord, have mercy. Are y'all in the building today? None of us deserve his goodness, but at least we can give him some things that he wants. We can give him praise. We can give him glory. You know what the Bible calls praise? The fruit of our lips. That's what it calls it. You're giving him some fruit. Second thing I warn you about. Remember, I had to get this sermon before you did. Matter of fact, I got it 3 or 4 times. I got it on Monday, got it on Tuesday, got it on Thursday. When I started writing it down, I said, Lord, I get it. He said, one more time. Because he wants you to bear fruit. If it were not capable, he would have never demanded it. But watch this. You don't bear fruit on what you can do. When Jesus said, get your connection with the vine, he wasn't saying, you got to strain. Let me, You don't have to strain to bear the fruit. You just have to let. Allow God to work through you and watch what happens. Watch the fruit come about in your life. Watch how the Shekinah glory of God will show up in your life and give you and provide for you what you could not provide for yourself. It's all by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Second warning, moving right along. Don't be deceived by the leaves. Back in the day, we used to call that putting on a show. In the modern terms, I think the young people still use faking it. Do y'all still use that? Tamira, y'all still use it? Faking it? All right. How do you fake a grade in school? I'm going to tell you how. You get close to somebody that's smart. And pray the teacher don't catch you. Sorry, Ms. Knight, I have to say that. But you cannot fake it with God. He made you. He knows what your life is all about. He knows your ups and downs. He knows the situations you're in. And God expects fruit. He doesn't expect people to look at themselves. You see, we're in what we call a self-focused culture. Everything is about me. Facebook, what is that all about? I got off Facebook. I didn't need to know more about me. I need to know more about God. Got off of it. Amen? And I'm not saying you need to do that, but good suggestion. But then again, I think about a crossroads on Facebook trying to help somebody. Amen? You got to understand that deception is not the way you work it through this world, not the way it works in this world. You got to make sure that you're pure in heart. The Bible talks about blessed are the pure in heart. Why? They're going to see God. They're going to see God. How's your heart today? Jeremiah says the heart is deceptive above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can control it? Only God. Don't be deceived. Third thing, remember that your goal is to please God and not to please yourself. That tree looks so good that Jesus walked up to it and thought it had something. Isn't that something? Man, you know you're looking good if you think you can play a joke on him, but he's going to have the last word. Amen. Getting more blessings is not what we really need. What we really need is the opportunity to bear fruit for God's glory. Let me tell you a story about what happened to the children of Israel when they were coming back from the Babylonian captivity. They disobeyed God, long story short, disobeyed God and were sent away to Babylon, and which later came into the Persian Empire, and they were able to come back from all of that. And God commanded them, one of the fruit that you need to do is to build me a temple. Because the problem that you had that caused you to get kicked out of here is what you want worshiping me. Build me a temple. Build me a place of worship so that you can focus on what my will is and not yours. So the people came back. They laid the foundation of the temple, got everything in place, and they started saying, we're going to finish it one day. 1 year went by. No action, no activity. I'm very grateful for the way the members of this church, you support the church because you need the church in this community. You need it as a place of prayer. You need it as a place of worship. You need it so that we can come collectively together as a group of believers and express our faith in God. By the way, some of y'all still at home, COVID, we just said COVID, you know, got something else now, so come on down. You need worship. They kept putting rebuilding the temple on a back burner. Oh, they said to the prophets, we got a bad economy. And we got enemies that are all around us. We can't complete God's temple. They kept putting God off. And then Zechariah and Haggai kept preaching to them. Said, look, God ain't going to let you off the hook. This might be a good word to preach to some of you. God is not going to let you off the hook. He's going to put something in your heart that you can't shake off. He's going to put something in your mind that you can't turn away from. And the prophets began to tell them, Haggai and Zechariah began to tell them, look, until you build God this temple, He's not going to bless you the way that He wants. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going somewhere with this. There are a lot of people that think, well, you know, I'm going to get blessed by what I get. No, 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 no. The blessing comes when you're able to give. God gives to you so that you can bless somebody else. I can't tell you the times in my life. You know how it is. Somebody walk up to me, hey, I need $20. Now I can pull it out. But back in the day, I couldn't pull a thing out except Lent. I'm not talking about the holiday. Didn't have a thing because I didn't know the system that God had put in place. If I bless you, I want to bless somebody else. Here comes the multiplication. God says, you being fruitful and multiplying, I'm going to pour into you so that you can pour into somebody else. They can all get it, and everybody can lift their hand and say, God is good. Am I right about it? I know I'm going deep on you. I know I'm going deep on you, but I wanted to just share this with you because God expects something from your life. Quit letting people talk to you and tell you you don't have anything. You come from a no good family. Your family was no good. Your daddy was no good. God never made trash. Huh? Some things might wind up in the trash can, but that's by accident. Hello, somebody. A lot of times we fail, but God does not discard you unless you're no more good for anybody. Let me preach to somebody. He offers you total forgiveness. It's called the blood of the Lamb. It's called Jesus Christ sanctifying you. And you got to believe that today. So remember that God is the one that needs the glory. So we talked about giving God what He expects. Don't be deceived by the leaves. And we talked about remembering the goal is to please God. But then lastly, before I close, we also want to talk about fruit failure leads to destruction. I can give you numerous examples of people that were blessed in the Bible, but did nothing with it. We're getting ready to come into the Easter season. Judas Iscariot was one that he received the word every day from Jesus. Listen to the Lord. There when he worked the miracles. As a matter of fact, I believe that Judas actually went out and by the power of God was able to do things that ordinarily he would not have done. But he had leaves. And be sure that sin is going to find you out. You can't cover it up. And Judas got to the place where he'd see, you know, money, and he'd say, okay, let me do this, and then I can do that, and then we can make the records match to where nobody will miss it. And the Bible says that Judas was a thief. He was a thief. There are a lot of spiritual thieves in this world trying to manipulate God's blessing in order for them to get ahead and look good. See, look, me. I'm blessed by God. That's not always the case, ladies and gentlemen. Judas became a spiritual failure because he failed to recognize, I got to do what Jesus said. I've got to listen to His word. Another classic example is Ahab. Ahab did not listen to God. He turned to Baal. And then when things would go south on him, then he wanted to talk to God. No, 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 it doesn't work that way. You got to turn to the living God every day. You got to pray to Him every morning and say, Lord, thank you. If you don't say anything but a two-minute prayer, Lord, help me today. Get my life in focus so that I can do what is right for Your glory. Jesus looked at the fig tree. Notice the words that He said. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. The King James says, no one shall eat fruit of you again and forever. Ever. Wow. And the disciples just simply looked at it. Oh, yeah, he's kind of mad at the tree. He was hungry and mad at the tree. No big deal. When they came by that same tree the next day, Jesus' word dawned on them. Peter said, Master, look, the fig tree It's your curse. It's dried up from the root. If you notice what happened prior to that, after Jesus cursed the fig tree, he went into the temple. Right? While he was in the temple, he drove out the money changers. While he was in temple, he drove out some of the people that were doing things that looked good. He put them all out of the temple. Ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ were to visit this church this afternoon, I want to make sure that we make him welcome. Amen. No more pretending. No more putting on a show. For God is real. And I can tell you how you can do it. Notice what Jesus said in that verse 22. Peter said, Lord, you've done some amazing things here. Jesus was not giving Peter a lesson on how to curse fig trees. That's not what it's all about. He said, have faith in who? When you have faith in God, some things are going to happen. Here's some takeaways. One, number one, faith provides you the platform of everything that you're going to do in your life. Faith lifts you up and said, listen, you can do this. How many of you face some desperate situations in your life? You thought that you weren't going to be able to do it. But guess who picked you up? Gave you the foundation to stand on. God spoke life into you. God spoke into you and said, you can do this. Remember the song we sung? We come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He never... Come on, you know it. You know it. Faith provides you that platform for you to stand on. But here's the other thing. Faith provides you with that power. Two things I want to say about the power of God in your life. One, the authority. You have authority. As far as I can read from the book of Genesis, when the Lord gave man authority on the earth, he never took it back. He never said, I'm taking back the authority. But what he does say, you're using the authority the wrong way. It's not about growing leaves, it's about growing fruit. You still have the authority, but you got to get reconnected. How do you get reconnected? Through faith. Jesus said, trust me. You remember how a little child would do when they got afraid? They would grab hold of their mommy or their daddy's hand and they'd just walk with them. You are that child. Grab hold of your father's hand. Grab hold of your Savior's hand. Quit thinking you can do it yourself. You're not good enough. You don't have the authority to do it. But in Christ, we can do all things. God gives you, listen, church, God gives you that power. God gives you that grace. It's that grace that you have. Thirdly, faith provides the promise. Do you know one of the things that will never, ever happen in your life? Once you accept Christ, he says, I'm going to make you a promise. I will never leave you. I'm going to all... Let me tell you how good that is. Y'all remember Sam, I am the green eggs and ham. He didn't want green eggs and ham. He thought, man, what am I going to eat some green eggs and ham for? But when he tasted it, Sam, I am got hooked. Sam, I am said, I'll eat it in a car. I'll eat it anywhere I go. I'll eat it in a boat. I'll eat it. Listen, what I'm saying to you in Christ, once you taste of his goodness, you'll want to enjoy him forevermore. But guess what? Guess what? He made you a promise. I'm going to always be there. He'll be with you in sickness. He'll be with you in trials. He'll be with you in heartaches. He'll be with you when things go down. He'll be with you when things come up. God promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I know you're saying, oh, Pastor, you're just saying that. No, Matthew 28 and 20 says, I'm going to be with you. Having that guarantee, ladies and gentlemen, your faith will take you places where you never thought you could go. Amen. Tell my story now. Because faith provides purpose. Not just platform, power, promise, but purpose. I was 17 years old. On that farm in Scottsburg. Now, let me raise your hand if you heard this story before. Raise your hand if you heard it. I know you heard it before. I'm going to tell it again because it's my story. 17 years old. And I'm plowing behind a mule. And I asked the question, I was serious at the time, is this going to be my life? Looking at a mule behind. Well, that's rough. That's rough. I asked God. I said, Lord, I wasn't even saved at the time, Reverend Gibbons. Wasn't saved, Reverend Ray. Didn't even know the Lord, but I talked to him that day. And I said, I know you got something better for my life. I don't want to waste my life. Not that it was bad. Number one, Daddy told me to do it. I was plowing the garden. We're going to eat from it. That's a long story. But I found out that God had a purpose for me. Even when I didn't know him in the military. Didn't know him. But Jesse, he took care of me. Amen. Dangerous situations could have turned south at any moment. But God said, boy, I'm gonna watch over you. I want to speak to that one that's online right now. Maybe you're waking up to a hangover. Been doing drugs or whatever you've been doing. I want to speak to you. God has a purpose for your life. Amen. But you've got to have faith in God. You've got to believe that God is real. Quit putting him on the back burner. Quit saying, well, I'm just going to get some leaves out there. God wants your heart. Amen. Give him the fruit of your heart. And I guarantee you, God will give you a life that you never thought you had. Because he's just that good. Say this is my last word. I'm going to sit down now. Everything that God makes is good. Amen. The only thing that can make it bad is either our will or the devil. If you connect with God, I guarantee you, you're going to have a good life. God bless you. May heaven smile on you. Father, thank you for your blessing and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that we are here not to have fruit failure, but fruit production. We want to make sure that every day of our life we're living according to the grace of God and by your kind mercy. Bless us, Lord, as only you can do, but then cause us to be fruitful so that we can show you the blessing of our lives. We love you and we praise you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to give the invitation. There may be someone. If you're in here, you can stand and you can come forward and we'll greet you and we'll pray with you. If you're online, you can't make that contact, but you can write to us. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com. As we reach out to you, let the Lord know that you want to change and bear fruit for his glory. Don't be the victim of fruit failure. Bear much fruit for God's glory. Everyone stand. Invitation is given. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come.